The doctor was finished with the bandage. Mazur told him he could go. He went. "Are you really afraid of that?" Mazur asked. Ender thought about it and wasn't sure. "In my dreams," said Ender, "I'm never sure whether I'm really me." "Strange dreams are a safety valve, Ender. I'm putting you under a little pressure for the first time in your life. Your body's finding ways to compensate, that's all. You're a big boy now. It's time to stop being afraid of the night." He decided then that he would never tell Mazur about his dreams again. The days wore on, with battles every day, until at last Ender settled into the routine of the destruction of himself. He began to have pains in his stomach. They put him on a bland diet, but soon he didn't have an appetite for anything at all. "Eat," Mazur said, and Ender would mechanically put food in his mouth. But if nobody told him to eat, he didn't eat. Two more of his squadron leaders collapsed the way that Petra had. The pressure on the rest became all the greater. The enemy outnumbered them by 3 or 4 to 1 in every battle now. The enemy also retreated more readily when things went badly, regrouping to keep the battle going longer and longer. Sometimes battles lasted for hours before they finally destroyed the last enemy ship. Ender began rotating his squadron leaders within the same battle, bringing in fresh and rested ones to take the place of those who were beginning to get sluggish. "You know," said Bean one time as he took over command of Hot Soup's 4 remaining fighters, "this game isn't quite as fun as it used to be." Then, one day in practice, as Ender was drilling his squadron leaders, the room went black, and he woke up on the floor with his face bloody where he had hit the controls. They put him to bed then, and for 3 days he was very ill. He remembered seeing faces in his dreams, but they weren't real faces, and he knew it even while he thought he saw them. He thought he saw Valentine sometimes, and sometimes Peter, sometimes his friends from the battle school, and sometimes the buggers vivisecting him. Once it seemed very real when he saw Colonel Graff bending over him, speaking softly to him like a kind father. But then he woke up and found only his enemy, Mazur Rackham. "I'm awake," said Ender. "So I see," Mazur answered. "Took you long enough. You have a battle today." So Ender got up and fought the battle and won it. But there was no second battle that day, and they let him go to bed earlier. His hands were shaking as he undressed. During the night, he thought he felt hands touching him gently, hands with affection in them and gentleness. He dreamed he heard voices. "You haven't been kind to him. That wasn't the assignment. How long can he go on? He's breaking down. Long enough. It's nearly finished. So soon? A few days, and then he's through. How will he do when he's already like this? Fine. Even today, he fought better than ever." In his dream, the voices sounded like Colonel Graff and Mazur Rackham. But that was the way dreams were. The craziest things could happen, because he dreamed he heard one of the voices saying, "I can't bear to see what this is doing to him." And the other voice answered, "I know. I love him too." And then they changed into Valentine and the lie. And in his dream they were burying him. Only a hill grew up where they laid his body down, and he dried out and became a home for buggers like the giant was. All dreams. If there was love or pity for him, it was only in his dreams. He woke up and fought another battle and won. Then he went to bed and slept again and dreamed again. And then he woke up and won again and slept again, and he hardly noticed when waking became sleeping, nor did he care. The next day was his last day in command school, though he didn't know it. Mazur Rackham was not in the room with him when he woke up. He showered and dressed and waited for Mazur to come unlock the door. He didn't come. Ender tried the door. It was open. Was it an accident that Mazur had let him free this morning? No one with him to tell him he must eat, he must go to practice, he must sleep. Freedom. The trouble was he didn't know what to do. He thought for a moment that he might find his squadron leaders, talk to them face to face, but he didn't know where they were. They could be 20 kilometers away for all he knew. So after wandering through the tunnels for a little while, he went to the mess hall and ate breakfast near a few Marines who were telling dirty jokes that Ender could not begin to understand. Then he went to the simulator room for practice. Even though he was free, he could not think of anything else to do. Mazur was waiting for him. Ender walked slowly into the room. His step was slightly shuffling, and he felt tired and dull. Mazur frowned.
"Are you awake, Ender?"
There were other people in the simulator room. Ender wondered why they were there, but didn't bother to ask. It wasn't worth asking. No one would tell him anyway. He walked to the simulator controls and sat down, ready to start.
"Ender Wiggin," said Mazur, "please turn around. Today's game needs a little explanation."
Ender turned around. He glanced at the men gathered at the back of the room, most of them he had never seen before. Some were even dressed in civilian clothes. He saw Anderson and wondered what he was doing there, who was taking care of the battle school if he was gone. He saw Graf and remembered the lake in the woods outside Greensboro and wanted to go home. "Take me home," he said silently to Graf. "In my dream you said you loved me. Take me home." But Graf only nodded to him, a greeting, not a promise, and Anderson acted as though he didn't know him at all.
"Pay attention, please, Ender. Today is your final examination in command school. These observers are here to evaluate what you have learned. If you prefer not to have them in the room, we'll have them watch on another simulator."
"They can stay. Final examination. After today, perhaps he could rest."
"For this to be a fair test of your ability, not just to do what you have practiced many times, but also to meet challenges you have never seen before, today's battle introduces a new element. It is staged around a planet. This will affect the enemy's strategy and will force you to improvise. Please concentrate on the game today."
Ender beckoned Mazur closer and asked him quietly, "Am I the first student to make it this far?"
"If you win today, Ender, you will be the first student to do so. More than that, I am not at liberty to say."
"Well, I'm at liberty to hear it."
"You can be as petulant as you want tomorrow. Today, though, I'd appreciate it if you would keep your mind on the examination. Let's not waste all that you've already done. Now, how will you deal with the planet?"
"I have to get someone behind it, or it's a blind spot."
"True.
And the gravity is going to affect fuel levels. Cheaper to go down than up."
"Yes."
"Does the little doctor work against the planet?" Mazur's face went rigid.
"Ender, the buggers never deliberately attacked a civilian population in either invasion. You decide whether it would be wise to adopt a strategy that would invite reprisals."
"Is the planet the only new thing?"
"Can you remember the last time I've given you a battle with only one new thing? Let me assure you, Ender, that I will not be kind to you today. I have a responsibility to the fleet not to let a second-rate student graduate. I will do my best against you, Ender. And I have no desire to coddle you. Just keep in mind everything you know about yourself and everything you know about the buggers, and you have a fair chance of amounting to something."
Mazur left the room. Ender spoke into the microphone. "Are you there?" "All of us," said Bean. "Kind of late for practice this morning, aren't you?" So they hadn't told the squadron leaders. Ender toyed with the idea of telling them how important this battle was to him, but decided it would not help them to have an extraneous concern on their minds. "Sorry," he said, "I overslept." They all laughed. They didn't believe him. He led them through maneuvers, warming up for the battle ahead. It took him longer than usual to clear his mind, to concentrate on command. But soon enough he was up to speed, responding quickly, thinking well. Or at least, he told himself, "I think that I'm thinking well." The simulator field cleared. Ender waited for the game to appear. "What will happen if I pass the test today? Is there another school, another year or two of grueling training, another year of isolation, another year of people pushing me this way and that way, another year without any control over my own life?" He tried to remember how old he was. 11. How many years ago did he turn 11? How many days? It must have happened here at the command school, but he couldn't remember the day. Maybe he didn't even notice it at the time. Nobody noticed it, except perhaps Valentine. And as he waited for the game to appear, he wished he could simply lose it. Lose the battle badly and completely so that they would remove him from training, like Bonzo, and let him go home. Bonzo had been assigned to Cartagena. He wanted to see travel orders that said Greensboro. Success meant it would go on. Failure meant he could go home.